Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. God speaks to each one of us in different ways, for he knows us, and with patience he waits for our response, and he never gives up. If you try and avoid his voice, he is so persistent. And a personal testimony from some of us here will prove that. But now we look and learn from the responses of Samuel and Nathaniel. It was a countrywide time of chaos and violence when Samuel was born, and a time when people had forgotten their links with God. Samuel's mother, Hannah, though, was faithful and pledged to give her son for the service of God. So here he was, under the wise guidance of elderly Eli, the priest. God called Samuel not once or twice, but three times. And each time Samuel responded, not knowing that it was God's voice. But Eli did. So before the third call, Eli instructed Samuel to reply, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Samuel obeyed and would later, as he grew in wisdom, become the messenger and instrument of renewal, so that Israel was reborn under his leadership. Through God's trust and vision, a child was chosen who would later lead a nation. And we too can learn from our children. That call of abundant love. This last week, I went to a Thanksgiving service for a lady called Dory, who lived out her faith. She didn't preach it by word, she just lived it. And the service was held at a Salvation Army citadel. I'd not been to a service before. We had piano accompaniment, which I was so glad for, because at the front was a mass of drums and percussion instruments. It would have been so noisy. But I was found a place because it was packed. And in the row in front of me, there was a young couple, and the woman was vigorously shaking the bottle. And I thought, is this going to go on all service? Is there a problem here? Not knowing that it was a baby's feed mix. And they had their little baby daughter, probably about perhaps 9 or 10 months old. And this little girl had Down syndrome. But she was so loved by her parents, so loved by all the members of that citadel. It was just so obvious. That young child, without knowing, was bringing out the best in those people there. But just to see the way the parents loved and adored her was a lesson in itself. That was the gift of a young child. And you may ask, but what can we do to strengthen the witness of this church and all the love it offers? Dedication never stops. And I asked, are there elderly folk who you no longer see, who are no longer able to attend worship, but who long to hear a friendly voice and know they are still connected through God's love. It's an opportunity rather than a challenge for service. Tiny acts can mean so much to others and to ourselves, even if it takes time. And a few days ago, I took a train to Whitechapel Mission. And I had gone and sat next to a young Indian man. And a couple of stops later on, a lady got on, a white lady, middle age, and she looked grumpy. And she sat down opposite this young man who was on his phone, his mobile phone. And within seconds, she just looked at him and said, "Turn that down, it's too loud." "No, please, or would you mind?" It was a command. I wonder whether you would have done anything about it. As I was sitting next to him, I turned and said, "It is a bit loud, and you're talking very, very quickly. Is it to family?" And he shared, and we talked together for the rest of that journey. And he lived in the Punjab in India, in a village. And he'd rarely been out of that village, never been out of India. But he had travelled to London to do a 2 or 3 year course in business management. And then he was going back home to his village because he missed his family so much. And I just said to him, "How brave you are. He came to this country not knowing anybody and only speaking the English he'd learnt at school." And I hope it was a time of encouragement for him. I didn't dare look at that woman again. And I hope she just picked up that you can be very cruel in your speech and your attitude. And then I said, "I have to get out at the next stop. I'm going to the Whitechapel Mission. It's a Christian mission working with the homeless." And he asked me, "Oh, are you going to get a job?" And inwardly, I was delighted. I don't look too old to apply for a job. But we parted. But that time of sharing with him, just, it fed me. A man from the Punjab without a name. Nathaniel was the man whom Philip brought to Jesus. But who was he? He's not mentioned in the 3 synoptic gospels and only twice in John's gospel. But most people had 2 names. So was his other name Bartholomew? No doubt it will be discussed by theology students, but what is important is that Jesus saw into the innermost longings of his heart so that Nathanael realized the truth of his messiahship. He'd been sitting underneath a fig tree, the leaves giving shade to him, a time perhaps of reflection, of prayer. And Jesus knew that. What a revelation for Nathanael. What a breathtaking joy. No lectures, no teaching, just the total gift of God, given faith, fulfilling all his hope and his years of waiting. We rejoice with and for him. No longer would he be scathing about the lack of prominence of Nazareth compared to other better-known Galilean towns and villages where hostile rivalry was so common. So much we can learn from this encounter with Jesus. Our response to follow him in trust must be evident in our living to encourage others to want that same personal faith. I share that at a service at Trinity, it was the carol service, and there were two young ladies sitting at the back, and I went and talked to them afterwards. They'd been in the UK for 6 years. They were probably in their late 20s. But their story just fired me. They had lived in Iran. They were Muslims. And then they heard and learned about the Christian faith. And they could hardly get the words out quickly enough. Their joy, their wonder for Jesus Christ the Lord. They converted to Christianity. Their family rejected them, and they would have been persecuted if they'd stayed in Iran. So they came to Britain. I wondered who introduced them to Jesus, who said, "Come and see." And it made me think about my own faith, and hopefully yours too. Would you have given up all your family links, your country, everything that you knew, to follow Jesus? It's a challenge, and it's worth remembering and thinking about. Two ladies who are strangers, we need to talk, we need to share, to learn. It is a challenge, as will your annual covenant service later this week. Or later this month, to renew your commitment to Christ's calling. We must live out our faith in trust and honesty and refreshing joy. My last connection was coming here in Advent, at the beginning of December, sitting in the church, and it was for the Thanksgiving service for Margaret Carr. And as I sat there, I smiled. And later on, I inwardly grinned. Not perhaps what you expect at a Thanksgiving service, a solemn time, but a special time. And why? Because around here, there was your nativity display. I looked at it and I admired the gift of the artists who had made those figures. And then my eyes went up to the ledge. And there were three wood pigeons, unmistakably wood pigeons. And at the foot of the porch, there were three mice. That is why I grinned. It was the first time I'd ever seen it, and it was wonderful. But I thought, for people here that have seen it before, has that sense of wonder gone? Or do you see it with fresh eyes each year? It taught me so much. It was so special. And I'm sure Margaret Carr would have smiled and perhaps grinned too. Like our faith, we need renewal to bring that spark of wonder and delight back into our faithful living. Don't hide it. Live it. From a hymn by John Bell and Graham Moore, Jesus Christ is calling, calling in the streets. Who will join my journey? I will guide their feet. Listen, Lord Jesus, let my fears be few. Walk one step before me. I will follow you. May we all be blessed as we respond to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be to God.